Welcome to the Run Yogi Diaries podcast. Thanks for stopping by. My name is Santosh Shiva. I'm the podcast host and the creator. This podcast is about stories. Through conversations with ordinary people on extraordinary journeys through their endurance sports achievements, we explore their motivations, strategies, and what keeps them going. Each of us have the possibility to be athletic. And being athletic is not just physical. It is also a victory of our will over the ordinary circumstances that we live in. I hope you take back some inspiration, some motivation, and hopefully go back and perspire. Stay inspired.
In the house today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Sukumar Rajgopal, who is not a runner. But his journey for pursuit of fitness is quite amazing. He's been at it for the last 20 plus years, from his 20s, 30s, and later on the 40s. And what's interesting is he's used some very interesting principles of tiny habits to break into and break through a consistency that served him well. We have this fun conversation, and this is for anyone who thinks running is not for them but still wants to continue pursue a journey of fitness. Let's dig in and enjoy the conversation. If you're new to the channel, please do remember to subscribe, hit like if you like this video, and leave your comments if you took something away. Hi Sukumar, welcome to Run Yogi Diaries.
Hi, happy to be here.
Very glad that we finally got down to finding a slot. You obviously have had a wonderful journey, a fun, wonderful journey in your fitness, which I think a lot of takeaways for others. I read your blog on LinkedIn and also saw that cute little video you put together, which kind of sums it up. But I thought we could kind of expand a little bit today and for the listeners of the podcast. So I'll give a stab at introducing you and then we'll go from there. Right?
Sure, sir.
So you are Sukumar Rajgopal, right? And been a tech industry veteran and based out of Chennai for decades, and moved from being a senior executive to now also a startup founder for the last 8 years, you said, and maybe we'll spend a little time on that as well. Married, kids, all the good stuff, and I was reading about your LinkedIn profile that you've gone around the moon or sun a few times, Guys, we are looking at one's fitness. So, did I miss anything?
No, that's good. I have only one kid, so one daughter. Teenage daughter.
Nice.
Otherwise, rest is pretty good.
All right. Perfect. So, I think, Sukumar, what we can do is, we will do a bit of a flashback, right? And go back to where you started your quest for fitness. And why, first of all, why at all did you just wake up one day and say, I want to get fit? So maybe we'll go from there, take us back, and what your key learnings were. Let's go back.
Yeah, sure. I think in hindsight, it's all funny, but it wasn't like that at that time. So at the age of 26, I started my quest. Mm. I used to be, many people won't believe this any longer about me, but I was a shy and diffident young man, you can say. Mm. And I always had difficulty in approaching and speaking to the opposite sex. Mm. So now I want to get married. I'm age 26. And I have a big paunch. Mm. Now, my friends say your paunch was never that big, which I admit. But then, for a shy and diffident young man, anything can be working against your confidence, right? That would work against me. I feel maybe nobody will take me seriously type of thing. So I approached some of my friends saying, hey, what can I do? And they suggested, why don't you find a buddy and start running.
Mm.
So that's how I started. I started running with a
buddy. This was what year? What year was this?
I was 26, so that would be 1990. Sorry, I'm getting my numbers mixed up. So I was born in 67, 1993.
Okay.
But then quickly that program went away because at 6:30 a.m. I decided to run. I would set my alarm for 5 a.m. and make huge ruckus in my house because nobody wakes up at 5 a.m. My mom and sister would wake up with, they get startled, and then I hit the snooze and go back to sleep.
Mm.
So I stood up my friend, and in those days there was no cell phone or anything. There was no way to inform him. Next day he promptly stood me up. And that ended my quest in just a few weeks. And my sister still pulls my leg because I bought a new tracksuit, new shoes. Everything was laid to waste in just 2 weeks. Right? Maybe three weeks like that. So that's how I started.
A lot of people have different whys. This is the first unique why I have in my podcast, which is I started the pursuit of fitness to actually find a mate, you know, find a spouse. Valid.
and very important for a young man.
Yeah. You know, 26 is not an age where you also, it's very difficult to sometimes motivate yourself to pursue fitness because you're young and you're naturally kind of healthy. So, unless you have something that bothers you, right? So, yeah, it must have been quite challenging.
Yeah, so that stopped. And then 27, one girl did decide to marry me in spite of my paunch. So even whatever little motivation I had for fitness, that was gone. But I didn't stop the journey, right? I would keep on trying various things. I tried yoga, I tried tennis, I've tried almost anything under the sun. With gym, with music on, without music. All permutations, with iPod, without whatever, anything and everything I've tried, on the treadmill, some other equipment. I went to the gym trainer and did the weight, he gave me a schedule, I tried that. And I was so bored that this is actually a joke that your friends, your audience might enjoy. I found myself in the United States, in the gym, sitting in the lobby and reading a magazine. And if somebody asks me, I'll say I'm exercising my brain.
You're one of the smart Chennai intellect young man, right? You have a smart answer for everything.
Yeah, I was like...
Wonderful.
I was bored. I would go to the gym, go on the treadmill. It was so boring, right? So I come out.
Yeah.
And then do this. And then after that, I just go home. And after that, I stopped doing that also. So
tell me, this is a conundrum a lot of people probably find themselves in. Because, and I'm kind of guessing here that was your fitness pursuit driven by some form of an external standard saying, you know, hey, you should be fit. You know, it's not something from within. And you were trying to somehow make it work. Because a lot of people want to get fit because somebody told them or somebody, you're reading a lot of it in media, but you don't believe in it, you know. Was that the case with you? I mean, was that why it was not such a struggle?
That's a great point. I was just thinking, preparing for this podcast, and I was thinking, I had come up with some 7 or 8 myths that I had in my head. But that might be too much to go through. But I'll tell you one thing which I think affects all of us, and it definitely affected me. Why I was doing so many things, right? Why I kept on trying? One of the chief most reasons was, I want to find an exercise that I enjoy doing. And that is the biggest myth of all. Now I know that you're exercising, it is expected to be painful. If it isn't, you're probably not pushing yourself. I'll give you one example. Before the COVID, I used to go to the gym and do 12 pull-ups every day. And I'm sure you know, pull-ups is the hardest exercise known to man.
It's hard.
Because you are lifting 85% of your weight using just two bare hands. How can anybody say that is enjoyable? Show me that person. I want to examine their brain.
Right.
I have talked to runners. One of my cousins is an ultra marathoner. The kind of things he says. So I believe what you, when people say, I enjoy exercise, after you finish the exercise, you get one good feel. But if you're getting it while you are doing exercise, I find that difficult to believe. I don't know what it is that you do. The only people that can successfully defend that claim is they are playing a game. Which I get. Yeah. I play tennis, badminton, I enjoy it, I get that. But then you're not really exercising and pushing your muscle in various directions. That is the only exception. So I've seen many people go through this. I want to find an exercise form that I enjoy, which I don't think is doable at all. Or rather, I would like to find people who say they can truly prove to me that they enjoy it when they do it.
Right.
The runners and everybody, I find after they finish the run, they get that serotonin. I get that too when I finish exercise.
Right.
Today morning, I came back from the gym after my workout with my trainer. I am feeling great. But while I am doing it, he made me pull 40 kilos. It's painful. Even now, it's painful.
Right.
So how is it that some people can say they enjoy exercise? I would like to really put them under a fMRI and show what is going on in their brain.
I agree.
So this is my peeve with all these people who claim that you should find something that you enjoy.
Right. And
so that statement has derailed me for so many years, I would say.
Right. I get that. So I think I get that you were in the search of something that something you enjoy. But at the same time, it seems like underlying there was a commitment to be fit in spite of the original motivation was only to get married. But still, there was that something underlying. Yeah.
But your insight is fantastic. That is, I really didn't have, this is the other reason I think why people fail, and you have latched on to that very well. Most of us don't have a very good why. Besides the platitudes, right? Oh, I want to be healthy. That's a platitude all human beings know. If everybody knew that, why aren't they not exercising? So I believe the why is not strong enough. It took me a long time to develop that why.
So let's get into that. How did that happen? How did you stumble upon your why?
First of all, by the time this journey at 43, now my health, motivation, right? Now, I have serious issues. I could not sit or stand for more than 15 minutes at a time.
This is 17 years after you started.
17 years after I started. At the age of 43, I find myself, and I have also in my dream job, I just taken the global CIO job in Cognizant. That was my dream job. I am at the top of my career and I feel, and it is a very difficult job to do. One of the hardest I have had. And my health, there is a problem. If I sit for 15 minutes, I have to stand up. If I stand for 15 minutes, I have to sit down. My back was a problem. So what I did, I did a scan, went to the orthopedist. But luckily enough, I was able to find out one area in my back, the specific muscle which was impacted. It was on the right side of my back, which was what was causing the problem. My trainer, Ali sir, who I hold in great regard, he taught me some exercises that I would have to do every day, which I continue to do even today. And miraculously, that pain, I am sure you know that back pain, knee pain, these things cannot be removed completely. You can only learn to manage them and minimize the pain you get. It can't be zero. It will always be 1.5 like that. So I have reached that level and I am happy. So now I have, health-wise, from 6.8%, 6.9%, 6.8% HbA1c, which is borderline diabetic, I came down to 5.4 without having any medicines. So all good things. Now, what is my motivation?
Hmm.
This is where I finally came up with this thing. And I find that this mantra is not going to work for everybody. It works for me.
Hmm.
This is the biggest gift, or rather, this is the best gift I can give my family.
Hmm.
Being fit.
Hmm.
That is, when they need help, I should be able to do it. They shouldn't be in a position where they are looking at me and I need help.
Mm.
To the extent that is possible. Even though I may fit, I may get some disease. That I don't think anybody can prevent that. But at least it wouldn't be because I didn't take my health seriously. That is the mantra that makes me go to the gym on the day where I feel the blues completely. I don't even want to get up from the bed. But this statement runs in my head and I jump out of my bed and go to the gym.
Wonderful.
Finally, I've understood why I am doing it, which is a fantastic question. And you nailed it. I have talked to my friends. I asked them why you are doing it. They all come with some platitude. Health is important.
It's because it's a good thing to do. The good thing.
Because it's there everywhere. No, everybody is talking about
it. Exactly.
So this, I think, is a super important thing. I would urge all your audience to find out a personal mantra which is personalized to you, to who you are, what are your values. Not some platitude like exercise is important.
Correct. And if otherwise it becomes a struggle because it, you're right, you know, Buddha has said, you know, I think Buddha said it, that pain is inevitable, suffering is a choice. So for most people, they don't want to deal with pain. But most of the time, they're suffering, right? It happens to all of us. So you're right. I mean, that's a wonderful, you know, kind of a convergence. And I think you're right that fitness is not necessarily only about you. It's also about others around you. You know, if you are fit, you are there for others, you are available both mentally and physically. It's not just physical fitness, also mental fitness, you know, being alert, if not anything else, that nails it, right? So embrace the pain and do not suffer.
Exactly. What is your why? You are also a runner, right?
Yeah, so a couple of things. I've been running recreationally for about 15 years now, and I started in my late 40s. I've been an active individual cricketer, hockey player, all that good stuff, and just accidentally bumped into a group of friends who were trying to lose weight, and I used to run casually, and we just said, let's do a half marathon and for the fun of it, and it kind of... It was an ego trip, let me put it that way. So I did the half marathon. Everybody said, oh, great, and all that. And it kind of perched me because I'm a sports person by nature. So when somebody claps, you're more charged to do more, right? So I went and signed up for a full marathon the same day because I felt half marathon did not waste me. So I said, I have some more gas left. And then it kind of became a hobby and it became a... There's a community, you make friends. So it kind of just felt good, and I think over a period of time, like you said, initially it's a struggle, but once you get good at something or trained in something, then it starts becoming pleasure. When you start repeatedly doing something, then it becomes a pleasure you enjoy it. Of course, you can always take it up a notch and there is pain there, but just in the steady state, it starts becoming enjoyable. So you can just go out, run in the park, and you feel fresh. Your mind is clear. That is my why. I do it for my mental health now.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. In fact, there's an interesting answer right there. So you can also come with the temporary why that powers you first.
Mm-hmm.
That is, okay. I want to run a marathon.
Yes.
What gets hard is, so let's say you finish that marathon. Then what do you do?
Yeah.
Right? That's where the long-term why you need to figure out.
I've seen
many people, they do one marathon and that's it. Because they've done it, it doesn't motivate them anymore.
Yeah, that is true. That's true.
But you and can, I also you found can, while you are on that journey, you can figure out your long-term ways, what I would recommend.
Correct, correct. And I would, like, you know, I'm also, I would also, you know, give credit to social media now. We criticize the social media, but the good side of social media is amplification of good habits. So when you do something good and you post it and people either get inspired or they are cheering you, you feel like doing more of it, so as long as you're putting those good things out there, you get good things back, right? If you put nonsense out there, you get nonsense back. I think I would credit social media there. Met a lot of people. You meet a lot of kindred spirits who are on a similar journey, and then it becomes
like you and I have met because of social media.
Correct.
Otherwise, there is no chance in hell you and I will meet.
Correct, correct. Exactly.
Like your brother-in-law and I are connected in social media, and he connected me to you, right? I didn't know your brother-in-law also. I met him only through social media.
Right. Absolutely. I agree. Yeah. Good. So
he is your brother-in-law, right? Did I get that right?
Yes. He is my brother-in-law, correct. So, yeah. So here we are about to talk about your journey. So let's maybe zoom back. So you found this, why you got consistent, and what it's ever since you turned 43, and then what happened? How did and you took on some new projects in fitness as well, right? So let's talk about maybe the top three principles that have helped you stay consistent, and maybe double click on it a little bit.
Yeah, so the chief contributor to all this, I would say, is tiny habits.
Mm.
So when I started my gym program, I still do it every weekend, Saturday and Sunday, do training with my trainer. Mm. Now I have been doing it more than 11 years. I did it today also, tomorrow also I'll do it. I have not skipped, and he never skips, we always do. But then that is not sufficient. This is the other insight that I wanted to share.
Hmm.
3 years after I started exercising, there is no 1 milligram of weight I lost or lost 1 millimeter of my tummy.
Hmm.
So I have got used to Ali sir and asked, sir, what is happening? I am doing all this, none of which I did before. There has got to be some impact with these things.
Right.
Right. I'm doing zero exercise and here I am, I'm doing all this. How come there is no impact?
Right.
It was very hard. So he would say, wait, just follow the process, just stick to it.
Right.
After 3 years, I drop every month some weight like that. And I had lost in the next maybe a year or so, the 8 kilos that I wanted to lose. And my tummy had shrunk, my waist side had reduced by 2 or 3 sizes, all of that. So previously what used to trip me up was I do for 2-3 months, I'm expecting some result, there's nothing happening, I quit.
Right.
Now I have stuck on for 3 years.
Right.
After that, the result starts coming. So depending, that's when I learned that I also have very bad eating habits. I am very famous for eating one entire rasagulla tin at one go. I love rasagulla.
There you go.
I am, and with that syrup, not the full, all the syrup, but one goes with a little bit of syrup batter, right?
Sure.
So,
pure
25 rasagulla I've eaten in no time. And I'm still not happy. That is the... So, out of control eating, all this. So, tiny habits method saved me by making my exercise a daily part of my routine. I brush my teeth and I do 2 push-ups. That's how I started. Because Ali sir was also saying, hey, you should do something every day. This 2-day a week and all is not good.
Mm.
So two push-ups. How many push-ups do you think I can do? You know this because you probably read my blog post. But it's I surprised myself that within 1 year, I started doing 50 push-ups at one go.
Wow.
Now I do 60. I mean, today I did 60. So over a period of time, I've cumulatively crossed 155,000 push-ups.
And this is 60 at one go, or do you break it up during the day?
Not one go.
One go. So that must have also strengthened your upper body.
Huh. Yeah, but I don't look like somebody who can do that. I don't know why that is, but I don't look that muscular, so people find it difficult to believe. But I posted a video of me doing 50-way push-ups on my YouTube channel. So if your audience doesn't buy it, they can go and check my video.
Okay. Okay, yeah. So you talked about Tiny Habits. Talk a little bit about that. It's a book, right? It's a book. And what are the core principles in that?
Yeah, this is Professor B.J. Fogg, my teacher. I am one of his earliest students. He launched his theory of habits, Tiny Habits, in December 2011. And okay. I started learning in March 2012. So he was kind enough to feature my story in his book. So if you read the Tiny Habits book, you will see my paunch, the whole thing. Some of it he has covered. So the main principle is this. You attach a new habit to a pre-existing habit. So for me, it was brushing teeth. So you can choose any pre-existing habit and attach a new one to it. Start small. So now my life is filled with many habits that I have built over a period of time.
Makes sense.
I do a lot of things by habit. For example, if I have to take my vitamins or something that I used to forget. Now it's like I put my dinner plate into the sink. I go to the medicine cupboard, pick up the vitamin and eat it. It's like I don't forget it at all.
Yeah.
So like that, there is so many habits that I have built. So Tiny Habits is just brilliant. And it's so easy to follow. You can do this.
Yeah. That's a wonderful tip because, you know, also I have read, especially with regards to neuroscience and how our mind works and things like that, right? End of the day, we operate out of multiple imprints we have in our mind, right? And whatever we are doing, even the not so productive stuff is a function of the imprint that's already there. And this, what you're saying, you're kind of systematically creating a new imprint, which allows you to do something consistently, right? And that's a great tip because everybody struggles with consistency. You know, we all have this aha moment saying, I want to be this, I want to do this. But execution comes down to these specific acts that you can create, which allows you to be consistent and keep doing something repeatedly, right?
Perfect. Like, I have like somebody the need for willpower through Tiny Habits. So you don't need motivation or willpower. You just do it because it's a habit.
Right. That's wonderful.
So only very few days in my life when I totally feel like, shit, today I don't want to do it. On those days, which are like very few in the last 10 years. On those days, I have to motivate myself. That's when I use a little bit of willpower.
Right. And I think, you know, for anything new, you may still need some willpower, right? You need to, if you are... moving from level A to level 2 to level 3, there is going to be some changes, there's going to be some discomfort. So, but you can still use the same technique, which is to bundle habits with something, a smaller habit, so that it kind of helps you pick it up, right?
So minimize the discomfort by minimizing where you start. See, two push-ups were still hard for me when I started. Was not easy.
Right.
But it's not that hard that I won't do it again. Had I started with 50 push-ups straight away, I would have not succeeded. First of all, I couldn't have done it because I didn't have the physical prowess to do 50 push-ups.
Right.
At best, I could have done 5. Like, I pushed myself really hard and somehow I did 5. That's all I could have done when I started.
Right.
So, I also lift some weights. There's also some other things that I do that enable me to enhance my muscles, right? So, I have worked on all of this over a period of time. But in 1 year, I go from 2 to 50, I found it blew my mind.
Yeah.
That I could do 50 push-ups is something that I wouldn't have imagined.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Suku, can you come to the center of the screen? You can't to the side.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
Sorry, I moved out. Is this fine?
Yeah. Yeah, perfect. Yeah. So that's the first one. What's the second? Let's look at top three of yours. So one is tiny habits. What about nutrition? Was there something you did? What did you do to hack that aspect?
I did a number of things, of course. But one of the biggest hacks that worked for me, which I started telling people and they all find it beneficial, is to weigh myself every morning and write it into a journal. Slowly, the subconscious starts working, right? So, I did a number of things, but I think this one thing that I do every day keeps me honest. I know that if I gorge today, the next day it will show up in my weight. But I don't think that actively, it sort of becomes subconscious. So, whenever I'm about to overheat, it doesn't let me. I have to now override that feeling and then overeat. Typically, I am overeating and I'm trying to cut back, right? Here it is the reverse.
Very good.
I have to force myself to overeat. No, I don't do that often. If the food is exceptionally good, so that's the other thing. Okay, so maybe this is also interesting. But why was my out of control eating? What was the real reason? The real reason is I told myself two things. One, I am a foodie. Second, I have a sweet tooth. These two epithets I've given to myself gave me license to overeat and gorge on the sweets. I no longer tell myself those things. I am a healthy eater. I am a fitness person. So this is the mindset change that we need. And you can't do this overnight. You can't will yourself into a new person overnight. But bit by bit, you do it.
You know, I've read this, and you may have read the statement as well, that we are the story we tell ourselves, right?
Correct.
And your this example is a perfect, you know, testimonial to that, right? Which is, I told myself I'm a foodie. I told myself I love sweets, and that was what you became.
Correct.
And the moment you shifted that story, completely something else happened. Wonderful. I think great tip. There's a lot of gold in there. Wonderful. Right.
Thank you.
And what about the constitution of the food? Did you also end up having to change the constitution of your food, or that was pretty much the same?
Yes. So I switched from white rice to red rice. In fact, I had to convince my entire family, because now you can't do two rice. So all my family eats red rice. Now, chapati, we don't make it with just wheat. We put in other grains and make it more nutritious, which my daughter doesn't like, which is okay. We make special chapati for her. She is still a teenager. So change that. I did portion control. I don't eat, like, if I'm eating chapatis, I eat 2 chapatis. That's it. Idli, 4 idlis. Dosa, 2 dosas. When I'm having a meal with rice, only one meal. Either it is sambar or rasam or curd. Only one rice I will eat. So I've slowly cut the portion size down.
Right. Okay. Makes sense. Okay.
I eat more fruits. So I eat whatever I feel like eating. I feel like there's some murga, I will eat. It's just that I can't eat one packet of Murg, which I used to do.
Correct. Yeah. Makes sense. Makes sense. And so that was the second one. What's the third?
Third pick? One, I think, is the most interesting that your audience may find very interesting. Mm-hmm. That by doing push-ups, I reduce the amount of procrastination I do.
Mm.
Which is what I call as the grit principle, which we have developed Tiny Magic. Mm. It's built on top of Tiny Habits. Mm. So it turns out that after the 5th year anniversary of my push-ups, I find my procrastination levels has come down.
Mm.
I was thinking, wait, is there any connection between push-up and procrastination? I mean, that is the only thing that I could reasonably tie this phenomenon to, because I used to procrastinate. All of us procrastinate. So the next thing that came to my head was, okay, if push-up is reducing procrastination, which means anybody that does serious exercise should not procrastinate. Makes sense, right? And one category of exercises I know a lot of are marathoners, right? My cousin, my friends. In fact, there's a friend of mine who started the whole movement of running in Chennai. One of my classmates. So I reached out to him and I asked them to post in their running groups. Okay. This is like several hundred people reach. And you can also do this in your running group as an experiment. Do you all procrastinate? And it came back unanimously that all of them procrastinate.
Okay.
Then I started digging deeper. And that's interesting. Oh, then that is something unique about push-up that's going on. Then I started digging deeper into procrastination itself. When you procrastinate something, let's say a task starts T0 and ends at T1, where is procrastination the most impactful? I'm asking a question to you.
At T0.
You don't even start.
There's a benefit to that.
There may be a benefit for me. Procrastination. Benefit is I don't want to do it, right? I'll postpone.
I don't want to do it.
Correct. Once you start something, you will finish it. Right? But you don't start, right? Whereas look at what marathoners are building. Their biggest problem is in ending, not in beginning. Any runner will say run, they will wear the shoes and run out immediately. But let's say they are running 40 kilometers. It is in the last 5 kilometers that's where the problem is. Like my cousin has told me that 100 kilometers he is running. I can't even imagine that distance. I can't run because of my knee problem. He said he had to drag himself across the finish line the last 5 kilometers. Imagine that is the kind of mental ability he has built. But unfortunately, our day-to-day tasks, we procrastinate on, we hit problem in T0. They hit the problem in T1. Which is why marathoning does not help you build tiny grit.
Okay.
So in Tiny Magic, we have come up with 6 exercises over a period of time that give you the ability to build tiny grit. So push up, plank, super brain yoga, which is the thing, right, of squat with your ears pulled. The topakaranam or uki, what do you call that? You do before Lord Ganesha. It used to be the punishment in days of yoga for children when they did some mischief. Right, burpees, Surya Namaskar, and myself and my trainer have developed a small routine called tiny cardio. So if you do any of these 6, you can build tiny grit. You can't build it with long form exercise. I went to the gym for 1 hour. No, you can't build tiny grit with that. This is one of our most interesting findings. And we teach this to people.
Interesting.
In our programs. We actually teach disruptive innovation, but then not procrastinating is an important trait for disruptive.
So it's
when you
kind
get
of
the idea, you have the persistence to work on it, right?
Correct. So what I'm kind of taking away from this analysis and what you've done. For me, what I'm hearing is almost like it's almost hacking to find some immediate return or,
instant gratification.
Click. Instant gratification, yes. Thank you. So it's almost like this is a form of positive instant gratification, whereas something like a longer form exercise, you have to learn to postpone your gratification because that's going to come much later, right? And that's where that is what I'm taking away from what you are saying. And I mean, I agree, yeah. Actually. Makes sense. Because yeah, I'm a long-distance runner. Sense. Right? Yeah, I agree. See, because I'm a long-distance runner. And in marathon training, you have to go out there and do 40 to 50 miles a week. And there is no guarantee that you'll finish the marathon. There is no guarantee. So it's a monk-like commitment to doing those 40 miles every week. It's a monk-like commitment to self-care. And that day of the marathon where you do the 26.2 miles, the weather may be bad, or you may just get a cramp. You know, it guarantees. So it's almost like playing test cricket versus a T20 kind of a thing, you know.
Yeah.
But it makes sense because you cannot get there before getting through this part you're talking about, which is get out there, get fit mentally and physically, use what you're saying, right? Those 7 or 6 exercises, feel good. Then you can get onto this journey of climbing a mountain or running a marathon or ultra, because that's a much bigger commitment. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so where this is applicable is, let's say you have to build a PowerPoint deck for something 3 weeks later. Let's say, I don't know what business you are in, but let's say you want to do that. You tend to postpone that until 2 days or 1 day before that, right? Now, with this tiny grid ability, you will open the PowerPoint and write 5 lines into it. You have just started.
Yeah,
this is not easy. Marathoners don't get this. This is why marathoners also procrastinate like us. They are building grit. You are a long distance runner. So you build that ability to sustain yourself over long periods. You are building endurance. Mm. Whereas tiny grit is just starting.
Yeah.
Which is where the procrastination hits us the most.
Yeah.
Run now, you will wear your shoes and run out.
Yeah.
Right? You can run a couple of kilometers and come back.
Yes.
But if you say, hey, I want to run 40 kilometers, different story. Whereas procrastinators, the problem is they can't do that first kilometer. They won't open the door and run out. They're going to say, wait, I will do it tomorrow. But you won't do that.
Yeah, and it could be
even applicable to a problem, but you have an ending problem.
Yeah, and it might apply to even things like if you have to do strength training or if you want to improve flexibility. See, what happens even among runners is we all get so carried away with the running aspect, we ignore things like strength training and mobility. And that habit, requires what you're saying, which is, okay, do it for 10 minutes in a day. Because it helps your running. A lot of people don't connect the dots and say, it's okay, I'm a runner, I'm good. And suddenly your knee will crack or something else will happen. Because you've not taken care of your muscle strength or you've not taken care of your mobility. And it could be even food habits, like you said. You know, like you're eating irresponsibly. No matter how much you run, you will not lose your weight or you will not have a healthy weight. It happened to me. But with your technique, you can pin in those small things, which will actually enable your long-term commitments as well.
Correct. You're
so I think because I see it as complimentary.
I am guessing you like running, but you may not like strength training. And I'm not talking about you.
Exactly.
Average runner does not like this. It's boring. It's painful. All that. Running is fun.
Correct. Exactly. You nailed it. So it's a very complimentary thing, right? It's complementary. Anytime there is change management, for me, the way I'm taking it is, anytime there you need to pivot and create something new into something you already created, what you're suggesting is very valuable.
Yeah, agreed. That's a great way to put it. Yeah. Whenever you need to overcome your own mind's resistance is when tiny grit helps you.
Yes. Perfect.
Grit helps you in staying the course over a longer.
Right.
If that, see, grit applies towards T1. Tiny grit applies to T0.
T0. Yes. 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 Absolutely. Makes a great tip. I mean, anybody listening to this, this is gold. This is a lot of gold, right?
Thank you.
And we have thousands of such things, right? All of us in our 24 hours. And even if you look at your 12 months window or boil it down to 24 months, there are thousands such areas that we have to apply these principles because we are on a status quo and status quo is not going to work, right? In whatever, whether it is professional or personal or fitness or whatever initiative you're on. So this is a very applicable principle. That's wonderful. Great. Thank so you. Three ones, you know, one is tiny habits. Second is, nutrition. And the third one is tiny grit.
Nice.
Or the six exercises that you have kind of picked as a sample profile. Wonderful. Yeah. So what next in your journey? Where are you headed with this?
So I did this around the world, walking around the earth, right? So I did the post and I asked the crowd what it should be my next book. Yeah. A lot of suggestions came, but the one that I liked the most was, why not I walk around every planet?
Okay. Okay. Okay.
And I thought that's interesting. So I went and looked. Mercury is about 4,000 kilometers. Venus is... But the biggest ones, right? Jupiter and Saturn... They are 100,000 kilometers circumference.
Mm.
I don't think in my lifetime I will be able to walk around all the planets. But I'm going to try to see how many planets I can cover. Earth I have already covered.
Which one are you picking now?
I'm picking the first one, Mercury, which is about 4,000 odd, which will take me about a year or so to cover.
Mm. So this is
and then the
walking.
Next planet and I keep going. Just walking, yeah.
Walking. And I think that's also an interesting takeaway, right? Gamifying the whole thing. So this is a form of gamifying, something very mundane, right? I would say that's probably the fourth one. We picked another one.
Gamifying.
You're also doing,
right?
So it kind of makes it interesting. You're not just doing it as a, rut, but you're seeing some fun in the whole thing, right?
Again, that goes to the original question, that the insight that you came up with, the why. Why should you do it?
Yeah.
On the days that I felt, I don't want to walk today, I'm like, hey, wait, you're walking around the earth. Do it, man.
Yeah. I agree.
Now I can brag, right? Hey, I walked around the earth 40,000 kilometers.
Yeah.
Show me how many people can do it. Bragging, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. I think end of the day, all of us are either explicitly competitive or, secretly competitive. That's a fact.
Yeah.
Right? Somewhere you want to win, in some way, right? And this is a form of doing that.
That is probably the last thing I would say. I was thinking about one message. It's a battle in your own mind.
Mm.
It is the biggest battle of all. So when I look at it the way I'm thinking about it, it's the conquest of my own mind. Can I conquer my own mind?
Yeah.
And my co-founder came up with a character called the Tiny Demon.
Okay.
This is the character that sits inside our head and says, hey, hit that snooze button, you can do the exercise tomorrow. So it is the conquest over the tiny demon that is the story of our lives.
Yeah,
most of us lose that battle. I used to lose. That's why 17 years I was struggling. Because I don't know how to win against this beast. He's a cute guy. He is like, it whispers exactly in your ears what you will fall for. You like rasagullas, eat the next one.
So what happens, right? Like hey, come on, go eat.
Eat the other one.
Have you watched the movie Lord of the Rings? I don't know if you watched that movie.
Yes.
So there's that little character with that guy,
Gollum.
Hobbit.
Gollum.
Yeah. He is that little character sitting in our heads.
Same thing.
Constantly putting doubts. Awesome. That's wonderful. So, love the conversation. I think we unearthed a lot of pearls of takeaways, for people who are listening to this. These are like day-to-day things you can take and run with and make changes, positive changes in whatever direction you want, right? It's fitness could be one. It could be anything else. It could be reading. It could be whatever, right? Writing. It could be creating a podcast, whatever it is. Any of that, I think the tiny great, tiny habit makes a great takeaway. So the last part of my conversation, Sukumar, is a fun Q&A round. So, some of the questions you already answered, but if you are up to it, let's do some fun Q&A round.
Yeah, I am up. Sure. Is it like the buzzer round type of thing?
No, it's not.
Rapid fire?
Rapid fire, but I've stopped making it rapid. We just keep it fun. That's it. Focus is fun. Fun and some things about you that we can learn in the process as well. So, my first question is, usually, what is your favorite junk food? You said rasagulla. So, let me ask you, what is your second most favorite junk food?
Any sweet. I like, but if I were to pick another sweet that I really love, is jalebi. I can eat any amount of it, and I studied in Pilani. Where, it's impossible not to fall for the jalebi.
Wonderful.
They make it fresh, right from the tawa, you can eat hot jalebi.
Makes sense. What's a food type that a food or a dish that you detest? Like, never going to eat that.
There is very few in that list, but one of them is this thing called kappa karangu. I don't know what it is called in English.
The tapioca. Kappa.
It's not tapioca. I don't think it's tapioca.
Yeah, it is. Kappa, right? Kappa. Yeah, it's in Kerala. Very popular in Kerala. Kappa. Same thing, right?
Yeah, my wife loves it.
Yes.
She has some
that is tapioca.
Kerala thing in her background. That's one thing I won't even touch. There are very few things like that.
Okay.
In fact, I can't think of anything else that I don't like at all.
Only people who get offended by this is Malayali, because that's kind of the kappa is such a core of main course. But I hear you. And what's your favorite way to spend a lazy day? What else do you like to do?
I read a lot. I watch a lot of movies. From time to time, me and my wife will pick some serial and start. Both of us are a bit, you can say, geeky. So we watch things like House or Good Doctor or some of these new serials. Law and Order, when we were there, we spent 10 years in America. We are Law and Order junkies.
Wow. Which part of America did you live?
Law and Order I watched. New Jersey 5 years, Florida 5 years.
Oh, nice. Nice.
And then I moved back to India. So, watch TV, read books, chat with my daughter, play games with her. She and I, we've developed our own little game of tennis that we play in our front of our house.
Nice.
Something, play Uno, anything. Games with
her. Great. Terrific. Any book that has uplifted you, inspired you recently, in the recent reading?
Yeah, so Tiny Habits is definitely one important book I would suggest. I read this book, The Inner Game of Tennis. Have you read it?
No.
James Galloway. It's a very small book. And he is a coach of the tennis champions. So it's same thing we have just discussed. It's the battle in the champion's mind. That's what the heart. It's not actually the game of tennis, the talent, which is many people can pick up. But it is the battle inside the mind that is hard to win. So that is a very interesting small book that I read which I recommend strongly to people. I keep reading. I read a lot of books. One of my enduring passions, which I've done for a long, long time. Since I was a child, I've been reading. What I read has changed over time, but I've always been reading something or that. So I love books.
Nice. Terrific. And the last question I have is, you said you watch movies, so this is a movie question. If we made a movie of your life story so far, A, what genre would you place it in? And who? And second, who would you hire to play your character?
I'm not sure. It's a hard question to answer.
Just humor me with that. At least start with who you'll hire to play your character.
Okay. So many times I've identified myself with the Forrest Gump character.
Okay.
I do many things because someone said so. For example, Professor Fox says, do this tiny habit, I started doing. Like that, I have many things that I do almost even on a daily basis because someone has said so. Whether it is beneficial, not beneficial, that's okay. I will do it.
Right.
So I would say that story. So then in that case, it should be Tom Hanks.
All right. Tom Hanks played second time.
This is right. Forrest Gump 2.0.
Right. Indian version. Or a Tamil
Indian
version.
Tamil version. Yeah.
I think Aamir Khan made already the Hindi version. So this could be the Tamil version.
Yeah. So it'll be, I mean, I come to think of it, I do really strongly feel that some people, when they say, I know that they mean well, I will start doing that. I will not doubt, oh, it won't give me benefit. What benefit it will give me? What is the ROI? No. I start doing. Yeah. And through that, I have received so many benefits in my life that I could fill an entire book with. So, So that would be that Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump is also like that. Somebody says you run, he starts running. Somebody says you do this, he starts doing. Right? I think of myself like that.
Very nice, actually.
Since you said humor like me, I think that's kind of what I could think of.
Nice. Very nice. Actually, there's so much insight even in that, what you said. Beautiful, Sukumar. So I think coming to a wrap up here, I want to give you the last word. Any final message you want to send to our listeners?
I'm grateful to you, Santosh, for taking the time and reaching out to me. I'm not a runner. Unfortunately, God has not yet given me the ability to run because of my knee problem. So I don't really talk to runners. And there is no walker community. Maybe I should create that.
Yes.
With your inspiration. But so I'm grateful and I am very inspired by all the runners. So I have several runners in my family, my friends. So I'm very inspired by what the running community does to the general awareness about fitness and all things. So and many charity activities, many things that runners do, I'm quite inspired by. So I'm grateful to you, Santosh, for the opportunity to speak to your audience, who I am guessing will be from the running community. So this is my chance to speak to runners directly.
Thank Great. You. Wonderful. Thanks, Sukumar. I'll let you go and enjoy the rest of the evening. You are calling in from India and the East Coast here today. We'll stay in touch and we'll keep rooting for you to finish as many planets as possible.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Right. You have been a great host with fantastic questions and brought out several things that I didn't even think about before I did this session. So it's brilliant, your questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.